Mariano!
This is Brock and Salk.
Brock Huard and Marcus. Sorry about just
Mike.
Presented by Carter, Volkswagen, and Ballard.
On Seattle Sports.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Where's like the buff dudes at?
Now here are your hosts, Brock Huard and Mike Salk.
All right, final hour of our week here on Brock and Salk Sales Sports on 710salesports.com. And pleased to be joined by Draymond Jones, brand new Seahawk. And we're told you go by Dre. Should we call you Dre? Is that what you would like?
Yeah, it's easier.
All right, we will stick with Dre. Dre Jones, good morning, and thanks for taking some time with us. Congratulations, you went through free agency, and now you're a Seahawk. How's that feel?
It feels really good, man. I'm happy, and I feel relieved.
Can you take us behind the scenes a little bit, Dre? How did this happen?
Just patiently waiting on a Monday, and just trying to figure out what me and my agent was trying to do. Denver was, I don't want to make it sound negative, but Denver was kind of like playing games, and Seattle came calling in, and they kind of presented us with their idea of what they wanted me to do and the total amount, and we just rolled with that.
Had you thought that Seattle might be a possibility before Monday?
Honestly, no. I didn't think so. I didn't think they were the team that was necessarily on the radar. It kind of came in hot and out of nowhere, and I appreciate it.
It sounds like that's meaningful to you, if I understand what you're saying, that after, you know, the team that you had been with, that had drafted you, et cetera, maybe you didn't feel as wanted by them or by any of the other teams that came calling the Seahawks. It sounds like, if I understand, you made you feel like they really had a spot for you.
Yeah, that's definitely what it felt like.
You know, we've been led to believe, Dre Jones here with us, newly acquired Seahawk. We've been led to believe, Dre, that, you know, at the Combine, these agents meet with all the teams. The Senior Bowl, these agents meet with all the teams. That so much of this is done kind of beforehand, even before the tampering period and then ultimately the new league year beginning. Did these conversations start down there with your agent and John Schneider and Pete Carroll, or did they just, as you said, really start heating up come Monday?
It's not like it started heating up come Monday. There wasn't much traction, from my belief, at the Combine.
Hey, so let's learn a little bit more about you. I don't know a lot. I know you grew up in Cleveland. I know you went to the Ohio State University and then were drafted and went to Denver. What was life like growing up in Cleveland? You're a big LeBron fan at that point?
Yeah, I was a huge LeBron fan. It was OD. How much I love LeBron, man. I'm a big Cleveland kid, diehard fan for the Cavs. So, yeah, I mean, I was your average Cleveland Joe.
What was it like when LeBron chose and made the decision to go to Miami?
I was sad because he was leaving, but my fandom immediately switched to Miami.
If really?
I was a Cleveland fan, yeah.
So you were a bigger LeBron fan than the fan of the team in your city.
No, it was even. So it was like LeBron will play other teams. I'm cheering for LeBron, but LeBron played the Cavs. I'm cheering for the Cavs.
Oh, all right. So then when he came back, that must have been unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. City was lit. I was lit, you know. And then we got us a little championship, too, when I was in college. Oh, yeah, it was crazy.
Have you met him?
No, I haven't met him.
So I understand you were quite the hooper. It was hoops before football, even for you, in some ways, growing up and through high school, right?
Mm-hmm. Indeed it was.
So what kind of game we got? If Dre's out there, you know, they got a basketball hoop bolted into the team room. I don't know if you've gotten to shoot on that or see it. They've got basketball hoops in the indoor facility down there at the old VMAC, too. If I'm watching Dre Jones play some hoops, what kind of game are we talking?
Man, I don't know. It depends on my mood, man. I can give you a Giannis type. I can give you the Draymond type. I can give you the, you know, Sean Livingston type. Just depends, man. I'm a driver, mid-range shooter.
Okay, you're sort of an outside guy, more of a guard.
A little bit, yeah.
Jeez, that may be the first time I've ever heard a defensive lineman define himself as a guard. They may kick you out of defensive lineman class for that.
Man, I'm saying, man, you ain't got to always be the bulldozer.
So, what if we get you on a football field? What do you do best on a football field?
Being able to maneuver. That's like my I guess my trait that I like to say. I know how to, you know, transition. I know how to be the guy that can bulldoze at times and be elusive.
How appealing was this system in this place for you? How much did you know about Pete Carroll? Obviously, you played on a Monday night that was a pretty emotionally charged building for a lot of different reasons. How appealing was this place to you?
Super appealing. Number one, the city just seemed beautiful. You know, outside looking in, I knew nothing about it. And I thought from that standpoint, like these people, you know, seem like nice people just walking around the city. I got mistaken for another player at times.
Jamal?
Yeah, I'm not going to.
Yeah, we've heard about that. That doesn't, does that aggravate you?
It doesn't like aggravate me to the point where I'm like, you know, like really mad. I'm just like, why? You know, like there's no way you think he's this big. Like, I don't know. I don't even know what he really looks like, to be real with you. Like, I never met him. Like,
you haven't met him yet.
I think that would be attractive because everything you just said of yourself as a hooper, like you kind of downsized yourself as a hooper.
Right.
So maybe in some ways that's actually quite a compliment.
I guess so. Yeah, if you want to flip that, make that a compliment, I appreciate it.
Have you had conversations? Have you had conversations, Dre, with the staff? Have you had conversations yet with Clint Hurt, defensive coordinator, former D-line coach, Coach Carroll, about how they're going to utilize your skill set in this scheme and in this system?
No, we haven't got to that point yet. It was more so a meet and greet, try to get to know each other. In the spread of time, you know, everything's getting thrown at you fast when I first come into Seattle because, you know, I'm traveling, doing all these physicals. I'm trying to, you know, sign paperwork and whatnot and get a tour of the facility. So it's not a lot of time just to sit down and just, you know, ask about, you know, have a whole bunch of small talk. You get like a good, like 10 minutes and you kind of go from there. So there's no, schematically, that hasn't been discussed yet.
What was your first impression of Pete?
He seemed like a real genuine down to earth type of guy. Like, you know, just deeper than a football type of man. I've never heard a staff from top to bottom, whether it was somebody that worked in the janitor system, from coaches, like they spoke highly of them, and I appreciate that because you don't hear that all the time.
So you were in Denver last year. We spent probably more time than we should have talking about what was going on there, just based on how, you know, relevant it was to Seattle and with the number five pick. What was life like last year playing for the Denver Broncos?
Keep it short. I mean, it was a lot more hectic than any of us probably wanted to be. I should really just speak for myself. It's probably more hectic than what I like it to be. There's too much going on. It's a lot of drama, unnecessary. Football didn't seem, you know, as important as it needed to be at one point. And that sucks because that's coming from a place that I really grew to appreciate.
That's got to be hard, man. I mean, you'd been in the league a few years. You guys were picked to be a good team. The defense certainly looked really good. Drama. It's funny. We tend to there's a group of people that say the chemistry doesn't matter and it's just about talent and this and that. But when I hear you say that, it sounds like environment and chemistry does matter to you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what people don't realize. It's like this is not Madden. You can't just plug pieces in and expect it to work. You got to have a trust, that bond, that built, and to just be able to work together is overly important. I mean, I got to like really. I want to play for the guy. That's what I'm playing for, the guy next to me. So if I don't feel like I know you, if I'm comfortable with you, it won't work out.
Hey, last thing for me, Dre, what do you love most about playing this game?
I just respect the passion behind it. You know, you really can't lie to the game too much. Not too many people that can get away with cheating this game of football. You get exposed. You know, it's just too physical.
Well, we're looking forward to watching you, man. We've heard great things about you and really looking forward to seeing you out there playing for these Seahawks over the course of the next few years. Congratulations. Free agency went quickly for you. It sounds like it was not a lot of stress and you get to go to a place where they really want you. So congratulations, and we'll look forward to watching you out in the field this year.
No, man, thank you. I appreciate y'all, man. And most importantly, I appreciate Seattle and their city.
There you go. Thank you so much. There you go. There's Dre Jones, new Seahawks defensive tackle. And I think you get a pretty good sense, Brock, of who he is and why he wanted to be here.
Yeah, you feel a little hunger there, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
A little no-nonsense. Like, hey, man, I played at the Ohio State. I know what culture is. You asked him about culture right there. I know what a program is supposed to look like, what it's supposed to feel like. It was not that in Denver. It was nothing but turnover for him. Turnover of, what, three head coaches in his years there? Turnover of players around him, of personnel. And now he's coming to a stable place that, as he said, wanted me. Kind of came out of nowhere, right? We hear this about these Seahawks on draft day. They don't
super
even talk
quiet,
to guys.
And then all of a sudden,
they know what they want.
Stealth mode.
Yep, and they know what they want, and they don't share it with the world, and then they go after it, and they go get that deal
pretty
done.
Darn cool. So there you go. There is Dre Jones, your newest Seahawk. Well, one of your newest Seahawks, along with Devin Bush, and along with Drew Locke, who returns, and along with Evan Brown. We'll go through all of that next. Brock and Salk, Seattle Sports on 710, seattlesports.com.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Brock and Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Well, that was fun. Really enjoyed talking to one of the newest Seahawks there, Dre Jones, who comes from Denver, where he said, yeah, there's a little bit of drama last year, a little more hectic than he would have liked it to be, but felt more than anything like the Seahawks wanted him. He had not thought about this as a destination at all until Monday, but the Seahawks came in when Denver, he said, was playing games. He didn't like that. He wanted to feel wanted. And the Seahawks made him feel wanted, Brock. I think that's great. It's nice to hear.
He comes from a place of a lot of turnover, where there's not been a lot of culture established, where an ownership group is new, where there's new GM, there's new coaches seemingly almost every year, a turnstile there in Denver. It's quite the opposite. He comes to a place that has built a foundation, that has built that culture. And it was telling to me, Mike, and I think, you know, at some point, maybe Bob and Dave next Thursday with John Schneider can speak to this, that handling each of these prospects, both in the draft and free agency, that acquisition phase, right, that we dig into so much. We spend so much time talking about it, and they do, obviously, inside their walls. But when they make a decision, it's go time. They didn't talk to his agents at the Combine. They didn't let anybody know at the Senior Bowl. They knew what they wanted. They went out. They targeted on Monday. They got the deal done. And Dre Jones, it looks like, will sign it today, be announced further to the press and the public today, and absolutely comes to a place.
I think he signed it yesterday. It was signed. Yeah, it was announced formally by the Seahawks yesterday. So he is signed. We'll get the rest of those hopefully today. Drew Locke, Devin Bush, and also Evan Brown, a center who they signed. Of those, who's the most interesting? Well, they're all intriguing in their own way. Drew Locke, you and I have been sort of chatting about over the course of the day and just trying to figure out just how guaranteed that salary is.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it is, it makes it hard to draft a quarterback. And if not, I don't see anything that prevents them from drafting a quarterback, whether it's at 5, 20, second round, or anywhere else.
And the Devin Bush signing makes the Bobby Wagner signing more unlikely,
to
more
me,
difficult.
Unlikely. Yeah,
I think you and I and G read that all the same way. And it has nothing to do with his talent, certainly not the way that Bobby played, but maybe just an overqualified employee back in the building.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
The lineup and the pitch. Jared swinging a line shot. Base hit straightaway center field. Wong to third. He's going to be held up by Manny. The throw in by Slater, the center fielder. And Jared Kelnick just continues to destroy the baseball.
You know what he did wrong on that hit, Brock?
Hit it too hard.
He hit it too hard to score the runner.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
I mean, Manny could have sent him. It's
hit it too hard to score the runner. That's what Kelnick's been doing. As Rick Riss says, they're just destroying baseballs. Another hit yesterday. He has been certainly the best hitter in camp this year for the Mariners. Another guy, though, who's been very good is Cooper Hummel, who I like a lot. And yet I think he had a bad day yesterday. We'll ask Shannon Dreyer about this coming up in 10 minutes, because unfortunately for him, Dylan Moore was not able to get himself back into the game as scheduled. He was scratched due to a problem that seemed to reoccur with his side. He's had an oblique issue. And if Dylan Moore is not able to go, it's hard for me to see how Cooper Hummel makes this team, because I think they're really going to need extra middle infield help at that point.
And I would say this as well. Yesterday, a 0-0 game, once again, speaking to the strength of numbers of these arms and these power arms. And who is Brian Wu, and where did he come from throwing 97 to 98 miles an hour of two scoreless innings there yesterday? Man, these arms just keep coming at you.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. We'll talk to Shannon, as you just said, coming up here in 10 minutes.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Really good. I really was entertained by that hockey game last night. I know I'm supposed to be watching the tournament, but I couldn't. I was transfixed by the Kraken and ended up staying there. What can I tell you? I just enjoy watching hockey more than I like watching basketball. And it was a good game. Up and down for a while, back and forth kind of game. Got wide open for a while. There's some good hitting. And eventually the Kraken came back to win. They gave up a goal on a penalty shot that I thought was kind of an iffy call, but okay, fine. They get it back with Bjorkstrand, and then it was Vince Dunn who had the overtime winner. You know who I really like? This is a random name, but if you're watching the Kraken, watch, I think he's number 15, John Hayden. He just was called back up. He brings a little grit. He brings some of that sandpaper we've talked about, Brock. He brings some agitation. He does the dirty work. He gets himself in front of the net. I just think they play a little bit better brand of hockey when he's around.
Well, the tournament started with 68 teams. We're cutting that in half after today. 68 games now in for these Kraken Salk. Just 14 to go. And I remember looking at the schedule about a month ago thinking, ooh, this next month, man, you're going to continue to face some pretty elite teams. The final 14, you start to get some competition you should take advantage of and take care of and make sure you solidify that playoff spot, which would be just an enormous story after the disappointment of season number one.
All right, there you go. That is everything you need to know. Quarter past every hour here on the Brock and Salk Show.
Mm. Yeah. Bad day for the Pac-12 yesterday, too.
When is it not a bad day for the Pac-12?
Bad day.
It's been a bad day like every day for the last 5 years.
It wasn't bad for the Cougar women last week as they won the Pac-12 tournament, but that was bad. Obviously, UCLA takes care of business, but SC and UCLA, USC's playing now in the tournament. They're gone, you know, after this next season. So, you know, what do you have left? Brand. You have your basketball brand. You have Arizona, right? The number 2 seed that many, Jay Billis included, picked to win the whole doggone thing.
Yeah.
Just won the Pac-12 tournament.
I mean, they got UCLA, right? That's sort of the other brand name in terms of basketball.
They're leaving. They're going to the Big Ten.
That's
man.
True.
They're out.
Oh, I thought you just meant for this year. Yeah, that's true.
No.
Yeah,
UCLA's gone. I think in many people's eyes and for their perspective, they're out.
They're already gone. Yeah.
Sheesh.
That's already been a bad day for the conference. Bad. Okay, well, what can I tell you? I don't know what to tell you about that, man. It's rough. I feel bad for you. I feel bad for all the fans of the Pac-12. But yep. I mean, this has been a slow decline that has started to, you know, intensify here over the course.
Well, I
of
would
last
say
few
it's
years.
Actually Larry Scott dug them an awful pit.
He
an
did.
Horrible, awful pit. And no matter what George Kliavkoff's trying to do, and I think he's trying to do some of the right things, he just cannot overcome what his
predecessor
did.
I think that's true.
Did.
I think what I'm trying to say is not that Kliavkoff did anything wrong, but that they're now feeling some of the effects of the problems of the Larry Scott era. That while he was
started
there,
with SC and UCLA
right.
leaving, yes.
And they've continued here over the course of the last year, so bummer. All right, coming up next, we will go back to Peoria, as we've done every day for the last few weeks, and chat with Shannon Dreyer, our Mariners insider. Dylan Moore, how serious is this? Well, it could affect him and a few other guys on this roster as well. That's next. Brock and Salk, Seattle Sports on 7.
You're listening to Brock and Salk.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
All right, we're going to talk to Shannon Dreyer coming up here in just a moment. We don't have Shannon yet, do we? No, we're going to get Shannon in a moment. That's cool. We'll talk to Shannon here in just a sec. And then, of course, we'll finish off our week with Ranked, which is the best way to finish off really any week, I would say. We've also been remembering the professor. And since it is indeed Brock Friday, thought maybe we'd have a quick fan fiction Friday for people. If you remember, tomorrow is the 1 year anniversary of John's passing. We played a whole bunch of clips earlier from the wild card, but this was something that we would do every Friday.
After his boxing career came to an unceremonious end, John Clayton is left searching for answers. When no one will schedule a fight for him, Clayton discovers a disgraced jiu-jitsu sensei played by Bob Stelton who agrees to train Clayton to become an MMA fighter with one condition. Clayton must break into Bob's rival gym run by local comedian Craig Gass and steal a piece of jewelry for Bob's wife, who is played by Pamela Anderson. Will Clayton pull off this dangerous feud heist, or will he be further disgraced and end his fighting career for good?
I'm just trying to pick Stelton with Pamela Anderson.
That's hold like on. You're trying to picture Stelton married. That's the
I know.
First
I
one.
Was like, I think that's what the big story
look
is right
two,
now.
Look at these two under how the he's table. Cackling how back there. Laugh,
wow. Wow. The Stelton getting married. Ooh, how about that? I guess I've got to pull this off because, I mean, we've just got to see this. I mean, what an impossible story. But you talk about fan fiction Friday. Stelton married? Wow.
The best part of Fan Fiction Friday is how John would like throw himself in and see how the story would go with him in it.
Yes. And he enjoyed it. I think he enjoyed Fan Fiction Friday more than the wild card.
I agree with you.
I don't know if that's a popular opinion or you would agree or disagree.
No, I agree with you on that. I think you're right.
He seemed to enjoy the mind of Howdy as he weaved together these impossible scripts.
That one was totally impossible. And poor Howdy was making fun of Bob there. That's not right. Howdy was laughing at his own little joke. That is what a little weasel. All right. Let's go to Peoria as we talk to our friend and Mariners insider, Shannon Dreyer, as we've been doing every day throughout spring training. Shannon, how are we doing?
Is this a Brock Friday?
Yeah, how crazy is that?
Yeah, just a little Friday. Every once in a while, I got to throw a little wild card in there.
Yeah, we had no Brock Tuesday, so we got a little extra Brock Friday today.
That's right. I journeyed back from Arizona. Shannon, does it feel 13 days away? Does opening day feel just 13 days away now?
I think it does, and I think it does especially since you're at that point in spring training when the dings and the dents are starting to pile up and you start getting the questions that you didn't have earlier. So, yeah, definitely, it's coming up quickly.
How about
that big question? Yeah.
No, I was going to go ahead. Whoa, I was going to ask about what happened yesterday because Dylan Moore. Let's start with Dylan Moore. How serious do you think that was?
We don't know. We were told very little about it, but the mere fact that they are getting imaging on it is of concern. And if you go back, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, the week before you got down here when everything was sunny and you asked me what my concern, if there are any concerns for this spring training, what would it be? And I said, Dylan Moore staying healthy.
Yep.
And, you don't know.
It's been a process.
Get him back out on the field.
And Shannon, it's been a process. We watched him. I mean, they did not all of a sudden ramp him up and throw him in there. I mean, he was taking steps. He was taking baby steps. He was getting his work in with Perry against the wall. He's taking some light infield. He's doing some. I mean, this was not a situation like, okay, well, we're getting close to the season start. Let's ramp this thing up. Let's see where you're at. I mean, they really, at least from my eye, and your eye is much more trained than mine when it comes to baseball in this process. But to at least my novice eye, it felt like they were being incredibly careful all the way along to avoid what we got yesterday. And that was a twinge in his abdominal area in batting practice.
Yeah, and depending on who you talk to, when we first got to spring training, it seemed that we were going to see him a week sooner in games. And some will say, well, that was a bit of a miscommunication. This is exactly when they expected to see him. So I'm not sure what that is. But, yeah, we saw the ramp up. We've seen him. He's been hitting quite a bit on the field. He's taken all the live BPs. He's gotten to work with Perry. Well, running was the last hurdle, seemed to have passed that. So I think they were very deliberate and very careful. But, core injuries are very tricky. And the minute you feel anything, you absolutely want to shut it down. And I think that is probably the one little bit of good news is as much as I am sure Dylan Moore wants to get out there and be out there opening day, still could be. We haven't got the news yet. It's really good that he said, yep, you know what? This did not feel right today, and they're getting it checked out.
If it's not great news, I would think that one of the people that this hurts most is Cooper Hummel, because as much as Jerry talked about him yesterday and as much as I really like him and think he should be a big part of this team, if Dylan Moore's not able to go, how much more important is it that they find some more help up the middle?
Well, you know what? It doesn't help that you don't know what's going on with J.P. Crawford right now either. And we only don't know because he's not playing shortstop. Again, there are no indications that it's any more than a little bit of shoulder sog. And as much as people want to panic about that word because it was associated with Drew Smyly, I think Scott Servais has used it at least 100 times with other players. It's just a little tired, a little fatigue. It's what you see in spring training. But again, we're not going to know until you see him out on the field at shortstop, and we're hoping to see that Sunday or Monday. So they are very thin at shortstop, at a backup for shortstop. We've talked about that. I think the only internal realistic option you would have right now is Mason McCoy, who is all defense, has not shown a lot of offense, although last year did have a 2020 season for the Rainiers, which was kind of out of the blue, but a very, very good defensive glove. But is that what you want if it's going to be something that is longer? Can you do something? Can you add somebody who is more established? I know there's been talk, I don't know if it's been among the Mariners, but a name that potentially could be available is Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. that could be a possibility. But yeah, you have got to be covered at shortstop, and they, you know, are wobbly there right now.
Well, I think what complicates that even further, Shannon, is really from the start of this offseason when we started talking to Jared DePoto on our Thursdays all the way through, it was, hey, we got to give JP some help. You know, part of the reason that he wore down and part of some of the electricity and the bat and the juice and the exit velo and everything is just, you know, he wants to play every day and he played too much. And the plan really from, October, November that we heard reiterated a bunch was we have got to protect JP against himself. He's not going to play as much. But if this is in any way significant, doesn't that put a little wrench in those plans?
Absolutely. And, you know, that's the thing that's different. Dylan Moore is not being counted upon to be just the guy who moves around a lot this year or the backup at shortstop. He was being counted upon to be you know, the second half of the platoon at second base.
Right.
And then also on some of the tougher lefties to step in for JP. And I really want to see them actually follow through with getting JP those days. It's been talked about quite a bit, not with just with JP, but with other players. You know, and go all the way back to Kyle Seager was supposed to get some extra days a couple of years ago, and that didn't happen. When you get into the heat of competition and somebody is hot or somebody is hitting or somebody is much better than what's behind them, it's tough for the manager to sit that player. But JP, they have said it since the day he has been there, wears down as the season goes on. And I think we saw it more so last year than any other season. And you heard from day one of the offseason, this is part of the plan. We're going to get him extra days. We're going to let Dylan play a little bit more. So I think that's so important to what they do. Now, you know, maybe Dylan Moore's not ready to go for the start of the season. Maybe he's back within 10 days, 2 weeks, something like that. Hopefully that's just a little blip on the radar of the entire season, but they've got to be prepared for everything at this point.
Two other kind of silly ideas. If this, you know, kind of playing out worst case scenarios, one, does this increase a role for Sam Haggerty in the infield? Or two, could you bring Evan White back up and move Ty France to second? I know that's not something they'd want to do, but could you do something like that?
No, my understanding is they're not going to move. The only way they would move Ty France, I think, would be to DH, you know, midway through the year if Evan White's absolutely tearing it up in the minor leagues. And they're very firm, and he needs to go play. And he has not quite got his offense figured out yet. And Ty France is no longer a middle or, you know, even a third base type out infielder. They did put him there a little bit when Eugenio was there last year. But, you know, you take a look at him now, and you take a look at his build, and you take a look at what he's able to do compared to what when he first joined the team. He's not a second baseman anymore. And that's a tough thing to ask. And, again, it's early on in the season. These are not must-win games right now. So I think you have to play it smart when that happens. As far as Haggerty goes, news is a little bit different on that. And we kind of went over this last year because people never understood why he wasn't in at shortstop. And it's because simply he's really not a shortstop. They didn't feel that he could make the throws. He's had arm issues in the past. But Scott kind of dropped it in yesterday that he's throwing better than they've ever seen him throw, that his arm is a lot healthier than it's ever been. So I don't think you could see him at shortstop, but if need be, maybe he could be a little bit more of a platoon partner at second base, if that's the case. So if Dylan's out, I think you're going to see JP at short a lot, especially if it's not for that much of a long term. He could survive 2 weeks at the beginning of the season. But I do think that Haggerty is starting to become, it seems like, more of an option in the infield than he was last year.
Now that I've become a Cal Poly fan in my life, I look at this Brian Wu kid a little differently, and also throwing what was he really throwing 97 to 99 yesterday?
I didn't see the 99. I definitely saw some 98s from him, and it's a real easy 97, 98, 90. If there was a 99, 99 as well.
Who is Brian Wu? Where do these arms continue to come from?
Yes. He is a very interesting one. He did come from Cal Poly, where he was actually a walk-on there, was an infielder for most of his high school career, and did have an arm and got thrown into some games, thought he could do it. He is from the Oakland area, and he said that his personality is very much that of a Cal Poly person. He is very laid back. And the thing that's interesting about him is he's got good size. I don't know if you remember seeing him.
Oh, yeah.
But he's grown into his velocity. This isn't a guy that, you know, went to driveline over the offseason and did the weighted balls and picked up. He's added velocity as he has matured and gotten older. And so it's been something that's very comfortable for him. He was drafted in 2021 while he was recovering from Tommy John surgery. That's kind of what they thought of him at the time. And the thing that is going to take a little while, because I think I'm sure you've heard his name quite a bit from Jerry and from Justin in the offseason, to the point where, yeah, I had a mapped out who the heck is Brian Wu story, because they brought his name up every time it was possible to in the offseason. So I did finally sit down with him, and at some point we'll get that written. But he's only, I think the most innings he's thrown in a season is 57. So because of injuries, because of not pitching very much. So he needs to pitch right now. But three-pitch pitcher, very smooth delivery. Reminds me of a kind of George Kirby the first time I saw him, where he could hit every spot very easy, you know, did not obviously, you know, pinpoint precision, that type of thing. Now, he doesn't have the extra pitches that George Kirby has. I'm not saying he's George Kirby, but for a fastball, changeup, slider guy, it looks like there could be a lot there. Scouts kind of project him to middle of the rotation. If the velocity keeps increasing, and if the slider, if you can kind of tune that up a little bit, perhaps he'd be a bullpen option. But he's somebody that the Mariners really, really like. But he himself admits that he needs to go out and pitch.
Hmm. Have you guys seen the numbers on the WBC at all? I just saw this from Codify Baseball, but 61% of the TVs in Puerto Rico were tuned to the World Baseball Classic game between the DR and Puerto Rico the other night.
Wow.
I'm honestly surprised that's not higher.
61% is a lot, especially if that is, especially if that's not of TVs that are on.
Everything. I'm just saying, you know, I'm just, that's, it's that big.
That's essentially the Super Bowl.
That much. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it is. For them, yes, it's they, you know, baseball is absolutely huge, and you could tell. I mean, that's why you see the emotion that you see. That's why you see the players insisting that they want to play in that. And, you know, I think that you can look at, well, meaningless baseball is played in this month and not to a lot of other people around the world. It's important.
Pretty darn cool. So, yeah, I mean, it was fun to watch that game and some of the others, and it will continue now as they're sort of out of pool play. Shannon, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you, as always. Good stuff.
You got it.
All right, there's our friend Shannon Dreyer, our Mariners insider, and you can read her at seattlesports.com, follow her on Twitter, and she gives us the dirt. How about that, Brock?
Pretty good. Pretty cool. And I'll say this before we get to ranked as well, to kind of add to those numbers, they interviewed a bunch of the players and asked them point blank, what would mean more, a WBC title or the World Series?
Whoa.
Yeah.
Really?
And it was, yes. Yeah, I think it was four of the five.
I saw that.
It was either... Yeah, did you see that as well?
But it was it was all like, we couldn't play because it wasn't the interview wasn't in English. But yeah, it was.
You know what? What did four of the five say?
The World Baseball Classic.
Wow.
Yeah. Yes.
That is that is surprising. I didn't know that.
Uh-huh.
That is very interesting. So yeah, I mean, if you think there's not emotion being shown out there, there absolutely is. All right, let's finish up this week with a little ranked.
Got a list? Time to put it in order.
Fred Dwarmfor's house. Top five meals that I have ever had.
This is Ranked.
To be honest, that list was really biased.
Brought to you by Carter Volkswagen. Every morning at 9:45 on Brock and Saul.
Yeah, top 10 list. I'm not buying that.
Ranked.
Well, today is, Brock, as I'm sure you're aware, St. Patrick's Day. We spent some very interesting St. Paddy's Days together in Dublin, thanks to our friends at Jameson back in the day, which was a lot of fun, and met all kinds of radio characters from around the country and around the world, which was
yes, we did.
Also very interesting. And Brock was the tallest person in Ireland by a good 3 feet.
Did Brock love bagpipes, too? Was that part of this?
I'm into bagpipes, yeah.
Brock likes those. Yeah, we got some. I got a little bagpipe music for you if you want some.
Our former intern played the bagpipes in that very studio.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Who was that?
You remember that?
I don't think I was here.
Maybe you were. I think you
was
were.
It the kid from Australia, from New Zealand?
No, it wasn't Mac. No, it wasn't Mac. We had a different intern that came in. Kyle's listening right now, and Kyle absolutely remembers it.
I don't think I was
he
here
came
for that.
And played the bagpipes in that studio.
I don't think
the
I was here for that.
Building.
So loud.
I honestly
they're
don't think
so
I was here.
So loud.
For that.
The whole building came and looked through the glass. Maybe it was in here.
Yeah. I don't think I was
Maybe
here.
Maybe you're out.
I don't think I was here for that. All right, well, with that in mind, since that is, of course, a big thing about Ireland, lands ranked, like Ireland, lands rank today, like Land of Confusion. It's Genesis. Right. You know that song?
Yeah. Really good cover of Disturbed did that too. That's pretty good.
Oh, really?
Pretty
I could see that. Mm-hmm. A little Bruce Springsteen. Land, of course. I know you know this one, Brock.
This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the Gulf York Islands.
From the Gulf Stream waters.
Yep. Of course, get the Land of Fire and Ice.
Oh, a little Dragon Force. Right?
Didn't put it in there because we annoy Mora enough.
That's too bad. That's too bad. There are a lot of movies that belong here. You ever see Tigerland, Brock?
No.
You would really like that movie.
I think every day you give us a movie to watch. If people keep track and write them down, there.
Colin Farrell and Cole Hauser and the guy who's the quarterback in Blue Crush, Matt Smith or something? Isn't that his name? He's the quarterback in Blue Crush.
Matt Davis.
Just makes it socially acceptable for Salk to just bulldoze everyone. Like, Brock's still talking and you just keep
Brock doesn't have anything interesting to say during Rank. Don't worry about that.
You do the same thing.
It's a really good movie about guys getting ready to, they're training to go to Vietnam. You should watch it.
A training in Louisiana, yes.
Yeah, it's really, really good. Really good. Of course, you got Alice in Wonderland. Mm-hmm. You got The Land of the Lost. Have you seen that, Brock?
Will Ferrell. 25% of Rotten Tomatoes? No.
Me neither. Never seen that either.
Land of the Lost TV show, the 43 episodes. I remember watching many of those.
That's like when we were, before we were born, basically, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Late 70s. 70s.
Wasteland.
10 years. I loved those guys.
Of course you did.
Yep.
And then the album here. Jimi Hendrix, Voodoo Child, which is off Electric Ladyland.
Electric Ladyland?
Yeah.
That was the name of the album?
It's the name of the album. Electric Ladyland. Yep. The Guess Who did Share the Land.
Baby, I'll be there to shake your hand. Baby, I'll be there to share
called the Guess Who?
Yeah.
Guess Who?
Yeah. These eyes. You know the Guess Who. No. These eyes.
You didn't like
want
it.
Want to hold you.
I think that was a good name after the Who.
Why did you just sound like the kid from Superbad?
Well, that was the goal. Yeah, that's who was saying. Okay. Yeah, that's sort of what I was channeling.
I'm making sure that you were actually trying to sound like
No, I was. That was sort of, these eyes. there's Wasteland, the video game. Of course, you got the Rent and Landing, Brock.
Sure.
Land's End, catalogs, Landmark Theaters, Land of a Thousand Lakes in Minnesota, Land of Lakes Butter. Game you play with kids for the first time when they first learn about board games?
Candyland.
That's right. And then didn't your wife drive a Toyota Land Cruiser?
Sure.
Yeah.
I did.
I thought so. Or you did. Uh-huh. There you go.
Oh, I did.
And of course, you got Land Rover. Don't leave that out either. Yeah. You do have Lando Norris, F1 driver, Landon Dickerson. Landry Jones, that didn't work out too well. But one of the great coaches of all time, one of the great football coaches of all time.
Great man, Tom Landry.
There you go.
And his fedora.
Peter Pan would go to
Neverland.
Yes.
That land.
And then I think there's a soccer player, a U.S. soccer player?
Yeah.
Landon Donovan.
How about that? Yeah. Uh-huh. Yep. For me, soccer, sort of in no man's land, but whatever. Oh. You can go 3,000 miles to Graceland. You got Tomorrowland, you got Zombieland, you got
You ever want to go to Greenland?
I think I'd be interested in Greenland or Iceland, yeah.
Both of my parents were stationed in Greenland.
I think that would be interesting to me. You got the Highlander.
There can be only one.
That's right.
Maura, I heard you. Your parents were both there.
They were stationed there. I knew about that.
Did they ever go to Legoland?
Way overrated.
No, how about Disneyland?
What about the Badlands?
I've been to the Badlands.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, they're very cool. All right, you ready for the top five lands?
More than ready.
Top five lands ranked. Number five, Lando Calrissian.
How you doing, you old pirate? So good to see you.
There you go, from Empire Strikes Back and other things.
A lot of text about Lando Calrissian.
Yeah, I figured there would be. You did not know who that was.
Nope, never seen it.
You ever seen Star Wars?
I admire that about
I'm
you.
I'm going to keep it that way.
I've never seen
that.
Any of the
not,
Star Wars.
Not a
smart man. I wish I had not.
Really?
I've seen the early ones. I don't know who that is.
Lando Calrissian?
That's Billy Dee Williams. He's like the other pilot in the second one.
How disgusted is Taylor right now?
Yeah, Taylor is not happy.
Taylor actually just stormed out of the studio in anger. Number four. Everyone knows the song, but do you know that it's called, Brock, the Land of 10,000 Dances?
No, I did not.
It's the Land of 1,000 Dances by the Wicked Wilson Pickett.
I like Na 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 Na, Hey Hey Goodbye.
Steam.
I like that one a little better.
Yeah, that's by Steam.
Steam.
Na 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 Na, Kiss Him Goodbye. Yes. Gotcha. Number three, I didn't get to play Copland. Let's throw Copland on this list.
We offered you a chance to be a cop, and you blew it!
You ever see that? No. Sylvester Stallone, Robert De Niro.
That's number three?
Yeah, it's such a good movie. Never seen Copland?
No.
It would either be that or Adventureland.
Mike, remember,
like
John's database, I was watching film while you were watching movies.
Well, you're going to definitely know number two, and I think you'll know number one.
Okay.
Number two, Brock. When you think of a beautiful, somewhat sad song from an artist who was here in Seattle this week and played this song in tribute to her recently deceased bandmate, I know you think of Stevie
and, I saw
and Landslide. I'm not going to name names, but I was told that there was a person in this building who was at the show the other night who shed tears during Landslide.
Oh, Arlene, really?
Was not Arlene? No.
Kathy? Really?
I'm not telling you who it was. I'm told that there were tears shed during Landslide.
Have you ever cried at a concert?
At a concert?
Like ever a song ever just taking you off your feet? You're like, whoa, didn't expect this.
No.
Happened to me at Foo Fighters, Everlong played, and I was
really?
Oh my God, I don't know what's happening.
I might have cried at the Red Hot Chili Peppers just for being there with Avery, but I don't think it was because of the music.
I think Garth Unanswered Prayers got me.
All right, well, let me get to number one before we get out of here. This should be fairly obvious. Do you come from a land down under? Men at Work, Land Down Under. That's right. Can't you feel the thunder, Brock? Yep. I know you can.
Seth MacFarlane is upset about it, but Seth MacFarlane is...
Why? Oh, Mick Farland.
Somebody texted that in as a joke that I thought you were going to use.
Oh, I like that one. Farland. That's a good one. That's good. All right, we got to get out of
Friday.
Here.
Friday. Holy smokes. What do you do on Fridays, huh?
Yeah.
That's a good little Friday.
You like it?
I do.
Somebody said this rank felt a little bland. Well, that's not very nice. Well, stick around for Bump and Stacey. They will be very exciting.
We'll have some corned beef tonight.
Enjoy your St. Patrick's Day. Party safely, please. It's amateur hour out there, so be careful. We'll be back Monday morning, 6 a.m. KJ Wright's going to join us on Monday as well. Until then, the hay
is in the mark.
See everybody.
This is the chopper!